Good evening, welcome to the regular Discovery Bay, Town Discovery Bay meeting. Can we please rise and join Director Gerto in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Always.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Has roll call been taken?
Roll call been taken, let the record show on the record.
Perfect, so before we do public comment tonight, we have a special appreciation presentation. So Kevin, Dr. Graves, I will let you take care of that.
Jim, why don't you come on up?
So for those of you, this is Jim Williamson of JW Backo. And Jim has been with the town longer than I have. He has been our guy, his company has been the company that's come out and done all of our emergency repairs as well as whatever infrastructure repairs we needed to do over the last
37 years.
Oh my God, I didn't know that, 37 years. He's been longer than anybody here. That was before we were a town. Before we were a CSD.
I worked for Delta Diablo Sanitation District.
So you worked with Greg way back, back in the day then, right?
I worked with Tim Rolla.
Okay, anyway, his company has been instrumental in the water staying on in our town for the last 37 years. And so Jim's decided to retire and he's getting out of the business. And so we wanted to recognize he and his son Bob, who can't be here because he's living in Arizona, but we wanted to recognize them for their service. They've always treated us fairly. They've always made us a priority. When we need them, they're there. It's going to be tough to fill those shoes. And the other thing about Jim is because he has a backup, he literally knows where all the bodies are buried. with that, I would like to just give you this certificate of appreciation for all your hard work and all your dedication to our town, because you've helped our town become a better town, and we really appreciate that. And we have one for Bob, too. Right. And then we have a couple of other things here for you, too.
So this is for you, this little one right here. And then, Tammy, this is for you. Thank you so much. And then this one's for Bobby.
Okay. Anyway, thanks again. Appreciate it very much. And thanks for taking the time to come out tonight. It gets exciting after this. You should
see. He's like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you a call. We're going to go up to Bird's Landing.
All right, let's do that.
All right.
I'd like that.
So now this is the time in our meeting for public comment. We open it up to public in the audience and also online. It's 3 minutes. If you have a comment on something that is not currently on the agenda, we would love to hear from you. We will listen, but we are not able to respond, so please know that we're hearing you but not able to respond. Is there anybody with public comment? Frank, welcome.
Good evening, board and staff. My name is Frank Morgan. I live on River Lake Road in Discovery Bay. I'm here tonight to talk and ask the board to consider adding 6 more Flock license plate reader cameras to Discovery Bay proper. 2 cameras at Highway 4 and Discovery Bay Boulevard, 2 cameras at Highway 4 and Newport Lane, 2 cameras at Newport Lane and Newport Drive. The Flock camera technology is truly a game changer as it provides actionable information that the sheriff's office can act on. They not only help find stolen vehicles, wanted suspects, but they are incredible with identifying vehicles and suspects involved in quality of life crimes, such as mail thieves, catalytic converter thieves, vandalism issues, dumping, and even ice cream trailers. A community effort installed 2 Flock cameras that I was involved in on Marina Road in April of this year. Within the first 2 months, the new cameras aided in solving 4 crimes. 2 of them were exhibition of speed or donuts out in front of the yacht club. The sheriff's office was knocking on their home door before the kids in the car could even get home. The third one was a break-in and robbery at the marina. Within 2 days, they had the golf cart back and the wet bike back and all the tools and things like that. And the last one was illegal dumping on Marina Road. All four of those were solved within the first few months. And for the last 6 months, since those crimes, there have been no reported crimes to me in the last 6 months or issues related to Marina Road area. So the sheriff's office uses Marina Road cameras continuously as evident by the user audit trail on the camera software. Today before 9 a.m., three different sheriff's office staff had searched the Marina Road cameras for vehicle information. The Marina Road cameras have had 42,365 plate reads and 9 hot list hits. The hot list hits are vehicles law enforcement is looking for. That could be stolen vehicles, Amber Alerts, murder suspects, and many other categories that law enforcement is specifically looking for. 9 of those plate reads came down Marina Road. Installing the six cameras recommended above will essentially allow the town and the sheriff's office to see every vehicle that comes in and out Discovery Bay proper at any time, day or night, and identify that vehicle with or without a license plate. A major crime and quality of life crimes are on the rise. The town is now more than ever susceptible to wastewater treatment issues, park facility vandalism, vehicle and equipment theft, etc. I respectfully request that the town board consider my request that will dramatically improve the safety of both the town facilities and staff, along with the community at large. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I will leave this since I've said so much with staff here so that she can get you all a copy if you need to.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Is there any public comment in the audience? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and close public comment. We're moving on now to the consent calendar. Is there any questions or changes on the consent calendar?
Move approval. Okay.
Second.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open it for public comment. Is there any public comment on the consent calendar?
No,
okay, we'll move it back to the board for a motion and roll call vote, please.
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Coteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Motion and consent calendar approved. Okay, we're now going to move on to our area agency reports. Do we have anybody from Supervisor Burgess's office on?
We do.
Okay. Sheriff's office, welcome.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Chris McCoy. I'm filling in for Lieutenant Pickett tonight on behalf of the Office of the Sheriff. So I have the report for the Town of Discovery Bay for the month of November. For November, the Sheriff's Office responded to 371 calls for service. There were a wide variety of calls for service throughout the month. For those calls for service, we took a total of 57 reports. A few of those incidents, which I'll recap on tonight, is one, there was a report of a scam where a woman was contacted via telephone, and she was advised that her son was in custody of a college police, and she was told to pay a certain amount via PayPal, and if she did so, that he would be able to have his legal issues resolved. As of right now, there's no leads to the suspects, but just a reminder to everybody, if anybody is in any type of trouble with the law, they will not be contacted over the telephone and be asked to pay any type of fee. It's a common scam, specifically with use of PayPal, credit cards, any type of payment. Another incident that we responded to was there were a couple of shoplifting incidents at the Sandy Cove Shopping Center. One of the incidents, there was a female who was stealing product from the CVS. The CVS staff was very diligent in calling us immediately. There was a male suspect who was waiting in the car by the Chase Bank. Deputies were able to locate the vehicle, fleeing the area, They stopped the vehicle and they were able to arrest both the subjects for shoplifting and an outstanding warrant. One of the other incidents is that there was a report of a robbery in Discovery Bay. There was a party. The subject was at a party within the town of Discovery Bay. She had reported a week later after the party that during the party, she was confronted by a male subject that she did not know, and that the male subject took personal property off of her person by force, which does result as a robbery. At the time of this incident, we do not have any suspect information for that incident. And then the last incident that I would cover, which I believe is a very good incident to cover, was a pretty big incident, which you might have seen via social media. The week of Thanksgiving, the Antioch Police Department received a report of an armed carjacking in their city. They broadcasted Volo information through the sheriff's dispatch, and the Delta Station deputies used the ALPR system and attempted to locate this vehicle prior to it being entered into the stolen vehicle system. The deputies were alerted that the vehicle was within the area of the town of Discovery Bay using the ALPR system. While they were en route to the area that it was alerted to, we were contacted by an alert citizen who saw a vehicle come into her court. She saw a subject appear to be manipulating some items and then run from a vehicle towards a house who had the garage door open. She relayed information quickly to dispatch. The deputies were able to get there. It was in fact the armed carjacking vehicle. Deputies pursued that vehicle briefly down Vista Road onto Highway 4 where the suspects crashed and were able to take both suspects into custody. So I wanted to highlight that incident for a couple reasons. One, just to show just how Captain Morgan just talked a little bit. The ALPR system is a very useful tool for law enforcement for investigative purposes, but also just to be alerted to certain vehicles that might be coming into our area because it does alert us that people may be casing the area to commit other crimes. Additionally, it's a good example of what we really want to see from the community, especially during the holidays. A lot of people are off during the holidays, so they're used to seeing their neighbors home during weekday hours, early morning hours. They might see the garage door open. This was a very vigilant citizen who saw something unusual, and instead of confronting the persons or trying to figure out, they just called 911 and reported exactly what they saw, gave as much detail as possible, and it allowed us to have a lot of information so deputies could arrive quickly and apprehend the people responsible. So I figured that was a very good incident to touch up on. And just also with the holidays, we do see an increase in mail theft and package thefts. So I would just like to advise everyone, if you can, the mail service, there is informed delivery. So you can set it up to where you can see what is delivered in your mailbox every day, which is a good tool to use to know whether your mailbox has been tampered with. And additionally with packages, try to schedule your packages to be delivered when you're home or coordinate with a neighbor or a family member to be there to receive the packages.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions?
Thank you.
We appreciate all you guys
do. I'll just make one comment. You know, I think that one of the reasons that our citizens feel safe in getting involved is because you guys are doing such a great job of responding and being positive about it. The fact that, you know, I know it's difficult because some corporate policies are really binding your hands with regards to what you can and can't do, but the fact that CVS had enough confidence to call you right away and make that happen is because you guys do respond, so thank you for that.
I appreciate it. We have a very good working relationship with the staff at CVS and the staff at the San Diego Shopping Center. And the reason that we just always say just, you know, don't interact with the people, just be the best witness as possible, is because at the end of the day, it's a crime. We consider it a property crime. We don't want to have you try to intervene and turn it into a crime against a person, have it escalate, put yourself in harm's way. So, but we definitely appreciate it. We do everything that we can.
We see your presence a lot. I mean, I think we saw you at the parade. It seems like you've been around a lot in various different parts of Discovery Bay, so I think that's a huge help as well.
We try to, and if there's any questions, you guys have an emergency number, you can give me a call.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. Is there anyone on from CHP?
There's not.
Okay, and Contra Costa Fire Report?
No.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and close agency reports. And we're going to move to the Municipal Advisory Council. We actually have some agenda items on it. So this is an advisory part of our board authorities. So we don't have land authority, but we are able, if something comes up, to take public comment on that, make suggestion. These minutes and notes will go to the county, and then the county will look at that and kind of advise what they want to do or not do. But we don't have any voting authority on that. So just to preface that before we start having these discussions, the first one is board discussion regarding sound wall fencing around Discovery Bay. Director Graham.
At our last meeting, we decided to exercise our MAC responsibilities and look into this. And so I have been diligently spending time looking into it. I initially spoke to David Pifo, who was a former director and president of the CSD, who was here way back in the beginning, and then also Catherine Koutsouris, and I apologize, and I know I'm saying her name wrong, who was a former director of conservation and development for the county and then was an interim town manager here for a year. They gave me a lot of very good information about the history and what their recommendations were as far as the sound wall issue, which is painting and maintenance. The sound walls in Discovery Bay, unless they are owned in management, and jump in if I'm saying something wrong, unless they are owned and managed by an HOA, they're not town property. The county so far has not taken any maintenance responsibilities, and so we're trying to see what possibly can be done. They need painting, they need maintenance. In some cases, they're falling down. And then I also spoke with Stephen Griswold, who works at Supervisor Burgess's office, along with Sean Abreu. We were on a call with code enforcement. I was very pleased with their response when I brought up the topic, and they immediately agree that it's an issue. They're very open to talking about this. They immediately said we need to have an ordinance written, and Stephen Griswold is going to contact Monica Nino's office, who is the county administrator. They are the ones who would write the ordinance, and also talk with Diane Burgess, the county supervisor. And what I'm going to do, along with my partner here, Ashley, we're going to be working on this together, is I will keep in touch and just give updates as updates become available and see what, if any, our progress is.
And I think the major concern is that when Discovery Bay was developed, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, a lot of times the walls are determined and maintained when the development comes in. They establish what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. There are a couple HOAs that handle that and manage that, but there are several neighborhoods that do not have an HOA. There's question on the developers didn't do anything about maintaining them or doing that for the homeowners. And so the question is, what happens to those? How do we maintain kind of a consistent look within our community? County really is the one that has to manage that and handle that. Is there any questions or comments on this?
No, you're absolutely correct. It's the fact that it's convoluted. It's some of the HOAs do take responsibility. You got the Highway 4 wall that actually becomes, each piece of that wall becomes part of the personal property of the
correct
homeowners. So in essence, they could just knock it down and put in a wood fence if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really why it's great that you're attacking this thing, Carolyn. And if we can get a common ordinance that would cover everything to make it consistent, I wish you the best of luck with that.
But I appreciate
your doggedness.
We're
going to
try
to do it. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this?
No answer.
Okay. So then we're going to move down. There's one other under the Municipal Advisory Council. It's a comment letter regarding Contra Costa County Envision 2045 General Plan. At our last meeting, if you recall, Will Nelson from the Planning Committee presented again on the County Envision 2045 General Plan. There was a couple notes noted while we were looking at that for some changes or some suggestions to changing that. So we're just asking to put that letter, which is included in your packet, and submit it through our MAP authorities to the county. So I'm not sure if everyone's had a chance to look at it or not. If you have any recommendations or changes, we can do that now, or we can submit with part of our consent calendar. Any questions on that?
No, I think that's great. I would just say that as individual board members, we should, what's the deadline on this?
It's December 31st.
That we should really study this and give our comments as community leaders back to those in a more general sense, not necessarily just correcting everything they did, but say, hey, this is really what you got here. You're not providing any county services for us yet. You want to put more housing in areas that may not accommodate it, and we may not have facilities to keep it, and there's no jobs out here, and whatever those comments might be, those just happen to be things that come to my mind. And I would also encourage everybody out there in the public, if they're listening, please take a look at the website, which is Envision 2024. If you just Google that, it'll come up for Contra Costa County, and look at it and see. 2045. And take a look at that and make your comments, because I know that there's a lot of community interest in the future of our town and what we can and cannot sustain. So that's it.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you on that. The more public comment, I know.
I feel guilty.
Are you feeling that? Are you so happy right now?
I got to do it myself.
The world's ending today. no, but the more public comment that we can get on this, the better. I mean, that's what really moves change. And if there's no comment about it, then they proceed the way that they need to. So you can also go back and look at our meeting minutes from last meeting. There's a whole presentation in there with everything that they have. They have a newsletter you can sign up for. So there's quite a bit on that. Okay, so without any other questions or any public comment on that area, that agenda item. Okay, so we are gonna move into presentations. We have Dan and Will from Cosmont Real Estate Services. Welcome, you are up to present. Welcome. And I think, just give us 1 second to pull up your PowerPoint. So they're here to present their part of real estate. I don't know, Dina, if you want to do an introduction.
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
So Cosmont Real Estate actually works with, if you want to tell everybody what we're doing.
We had a closed session, which is typically around real estate. Generally speaking, we've been working well over a year at looking at a building alternative or building new building. Cosmount is here to present their services of how they can help us in this process of what we're looking at and what a couple of our options are that we have come to close to the end of this decision. We have a couple front runners on that, and so we thought this would be a good time to bring them in to present what their services are so we know what those options are available to us for when we move forward, hopefully in the next couple meetings.
Correct. And Cosmont works with government agencies, which is why we need somebody to help represent us if we're going to move forward on this path. We don't want to typically use a commercial real estate or a residential real estate agent. We would like to use somebody that actually knows government and can guide us through the nuances of a government building. So.
Perfect. Welcome.
Thank you.
I think I'm good.
Presentation done. You're helping us to keep it concise.
Vice President, directors, as well as staff. Thank you, and please let me know if you can't hear me. And I apologize for standing in the back of the room. Sometimes that's where I had back surgery a few weeks ago, so that's why I'm standing. But next slide, please. So, as introduced, I'm with Cosmont Companies. Dan Messiello is here as well. It's actually an entity, I'll talk about a little bit about it more in just a moment, We've actually got kind of three entities, but tonight we'll talk about us, sample client list, who you'll be working with if you choose to engage with us. Just a brief primer on market conditions that I think everybody's probably very cognizant of, the scope of the proposed engagement, and then questions. But please, if you have any questions at any time, please don't hesitate to ask. Next slide, please. So about Cosmog Companies. We are, as he says, a recognized leader in public, private transactions, economics, public finance, real estate, and it's really a unique blend that we bring to the table. There's actually three companies within the Cosmog family, if you will. There's the namesake Cosmog Companies, which is primarily a consulting firm. We've consulted for over 37 years with public entities. And then there's also a separate arm now, Cosmog Transaction Services, which Dan leads. And that's really based in municipal finance that's registered with the SEC. So it's got the licenses that are necessary to do financial transactions or advise public entities with respect to finance. And then there's also Cosmog Realty, which would be the legal entity that if the town chooses to engage, we would engage with. It is a licensed brokerage in the state of California, so we're legally allowed to represent municipal clients transacting real estate. I'm a licensed broker. There are many other licensed brokers within the umbrella. We'll talk about that in a minute. Cosmog Realty, we've had about 27 years of public agency transactions. But really, the important thing is that a lot of us have backgrounds in the public sector. I spent 7 years for a school district and kind of their development side of things in the planning office, which is really kind of a development side of the school district. And then many other representatives of Cosmog have been on city council, city managers. We've got a lot of relationships through that. And over the years, there's been about $12 billion in transactions, so pretty substantial volume. Next slide, please. Just a sample list of people often ask who do you work for, who is engaging you. A lot of this activity of late is related to SLA, Surplus Land Act. I think it's on your agenda tonight as well. So everyone is dealing with that now. Some of our more recent clients are dealing with that. But a lot of our transactions historically, structuring deals between the public and private sector, acquiring property from the private sector for public use, negotiating ground leases, things like that. So we've got a lot of experience really bridging that gap between the public and private sector. Next slide, please. I'll dive more into what that means in just a minute. With respect to this particular engagement, you've got me, I'd be part of the team. You've got Larry Cosmog, would also be part of the team, namesake of Cosmog Companies. You've got Brian Moncrief, who leads Cosmog Realty as well. And then Dan Masiello, again, with KTS, Cosmog Transaction Services on the finance side, to the extent that there are financial questions, things like that, he's able to assist us in setting up and structuring a transaction in a way that makes sense for all elements of a transaction. Next slide, please. With respect to the market conditions, I'm sure everyone's seen what's happening in the market. The market is still processing increases in interest rates from the Fed. We do now see some stability, some speculation now in the swap market, the forward-looking interest rate market, that maybe interest rates come down by a quarter point in May or June or something like that. I'm sure Dan could probably talk for half an hour on why that may or may not happen, but I'll spare you and leave it right there. What happens, though, is because of those increases in interest rates, and we're now at north of 5% on the overnight lending rate, it results in capitalization rates increasing. Capitalization rates are often how people value income-producing and income-producing assets. So if somebody said that they wanted a 5% cap rate, and the asset was worth $100, they would expect to get $5 back from that on an annual basis. What's happened is that cap rate has increased. So people have said, I don't want $5, or I'm no longer willing to pay $100 for that same $5. Now I'm willing to pay $80 for that same $5. And so assets go down in value when interest rates go up and cap rates go up. Then you add to that increases in financing rates, right? So interest rates, as everyone sees, home loans, no different from the commercial segment. In terms of interest rates, the pricing pressure has increased. There's much higher interest rates, and so that means a higher mortgage payment, right? So now you've got that asset that is worth less, which helps offset the higher interest rate, but it still is not yielding enough revenue yet to support that higher interest rate. So the market's adjusting, right? The increases were many, you know, it was last year effectively started, but it is still filtering through the market. What we saw the last 6 months was a lot of property owners kind of in the commercial market kind of holding off. So, and you do see that the individual home market as well, that sellers were coming out of the market unless they had to sell. What we're seeing now is some pressure as in the commercial market, unlike with a home loan, you get a 30-year home loan. In the commercial market, you typically get 5, 7, 10-year notes or loans, and sometimes they're interest only, as an example. And so when those come due, and now suddenly your assets worth less, the bank says, we're gonna need more money, we're not gonna loan you the same amount. Oh, by the way, you're not making as much money, so we're gonna need even more. You're gonna need to put down more money. And so what happens is those owners are forced really to sell. And so we're starting to see some of that happen in the market as well. There's also kind of the price adjustment. People are starting to face reality. And so there's more movement in the market, whereas the last 6 months and even the last year, there was a lot of kind of stalemates, if you will. There wasn't a lot of transactions. But bottom line, things are starting to move again. The piece there about construction costs, they have, as I'm sure everyone's seen, especially in the public sector, construction costs increased substantially, especially over the last 2 years. It's kind of the COVID hangover, if you will, with supply chain disruptions. And we're still seeing it. There's in some markets, there's fewer individual skilled laborers. The labor pool is shrinking, and so the cost for labor goes up. The cost of supplies is still up high. So we haven't seen any reduction in construction costs yet, but there's signs that we might see some moderation. I've been saying that for a year now and still have yet to really see it, but we're thinking it's there, it's right on the edge. And as I talked about, property transactions have slowed, but we are now starting to see those range. I've been saying that for a year. We are finally starting to see a lot of activity in the market as we come to the end of the year. Next slide, please. So with respect to this engagement, we would review the needs assessment. We have reviewed the materials at the board, I think, or there was a presentation, I think it's September 6th or something like that, maybe it's September 8th, that talked about some of the different options for facilities. And this is what we do. We help public entities kind of figure out what's the right next step. As you've done, we often recommend clients retain an architect. That's the first step, is what's our need, right? How do we talk to staff? We don't personally talk to staff. The architect talks to staff, figures out how many square feet you need, how many rooms you need, what that building program looks like. So we review that and make sure that makes sense. We then assist with an evaluation of, in this case, the remaining facility options are being evaluated. So if you look at modular, things like that, we can help provide our experience on that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what we often see for many of our clients is that in your situation, it makes sense to try and go buy a building. You know, and that may be an option here, you know, to be determined. And I say it makes sense because when we look at the cost of construction versus the cost of something that's in place and built, it can be a substantial difference. It could be 2 times difference. It could be a 5 times difference. You know, it's very expensive for us, often in the public sector, to build new facilities and amenities. And so that's why we can look to an existing building, and that can make a lot of sense. The other piece that's interesting for an existing building, I had a client as an example, they needed about 50,000 square feet. And we saw and found a building, it didn't end up transacting on this one, but found a building that was about 120,000 square feet with a tenant in place, as an example. And that tenant would be in a position to, that it was a long-term lease, it was kind of more of an industrial office style building, a long-term lease, and so there would be certainty about that tenant continuing to pay rent, if you will. And then because of the nature of public sector finance, that entity, when we ran the numbers, would be able to, even at a taxable financing rate, be able to issue bonds to acquire the building and then use the income stream from the rent of the tenant to essentially pay the bulk of the purchase price of the building, right? It's not for everybody. You get into a landlord question and public entities don't make the best landlords, so then we recommend management companies, things like that. But there's lots of ways to skin the cat and find something that can make sense, bottom line. And the last piece, our assist with the acquisition process to the extent desired. We offer our services like a menu. In our proposal, paid on an hourly basis. We do also offer commission structures if that's preferred, you know, at risk on our side. But help however you want. So I say it's a menu. Pricing, you know, help negotiate pricing, structure a lot of transactions, a lot of leases, things like that. We're also skilled at looking at a building and see what makes sense from a building performance perspective. How's this operating now? Both from a physical perspective as well as a tenancy perspective. If there's existing operations there, we can help you assess that. Do due diligence on it. See what makes sense from a long-term operations perspective. You know, we don't underwrite operating management plans, but we do have a good sense as to kind of what it does cost to operate generally buildings as well. Then fundamentally, the transaction here to help you with that and work with the town council to actually transact. And then to the extent desired or required, as talked about, if it's not a cash purchase, we know the finance market, so we can help coordinate with that if you have an existing municipal advisor, or if not, you know, Dan KFS is available to help as well. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and I think you guys are at an interesting decision point as well.
Does the board have any questions?
No.
None?
I don't have any, no.
No, I appreciate the overview of our economy as well as the local area, and it is very interesting in what's going on with the market today, and it does follow what's going on with the housing market, because we have a real estate agent nearby that probably doesn't have a lot of properties to list right now because people are holding on to stuff with the interest rates the way they are. So I do not have any other questions.
I think you did a very nice job of presenting for us. We appreciate you coming tonight. And I think with that, we're if there's no other questions, we're good to go. Thank you. And then also your presentation, just for the public, will be available as additional materials because we received that tonight. That will be available on our website.
Very good. Thank,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Okay, so now we're moving on to discussions and possible action. The first one is discussion of possible action regarding amendment of professional services agreement with Ludolph Scalamini for the Sandpoint Trenchless Design Evaluation. Mike Uraka, are you available? And this was presented at our water wastewater meeting earlier this afternoon.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
I can, yes.
Wonderful.
Hopefully you can see me as well.
Not yet.
Okay, good enough, as long as you can hear me. Alrighty.
Oh, there you are.
Thank you very much.
There you are.
Good. So the first item is within regards to the Sandpoint Waterline Crossing. And in your agenda packet, a few pages past this staff report, you'll see an exhibit that shows the red line, which represents the location of the undercrossing. This is part of our water system, water main upgrade program, and this pipeline needs to be upgraded from an 8-inch to a 12-inch. And the red line represents the center line of the 10-foot easement that the town currently has. And as you can see, there's a very sharp angle in the pipeline. And in order for us to do what's called parallel directional drilling, which is basically take the line, lay it out in the street here, and they run an auger underneath the ground and deep underneath the lake area here, and come up the other side, we would need to navigate this bend right here. And so we're not sure if we can stay within our 10-foot easement when they're doing this horizontal directional drilling. And so Ludolph and Scalamini, their consultant, would perform the analysis to determine if that is feasibly possible. What's important about that is if it's not possible, then we'll have to figure out where to put the water line and what other easement area we might need to secure. So it's a pretty big question that needs to be answered. We currently have a general engineering professional services contract with LSCE for the fiscal year. And, pardon me, the plan is to just amend that contract by an amount of $26,626 to cover the scope services for this effort.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Mike. Are there any questions from the board?
Nope.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this issue?
No hands are raised.
Okay. So we're going to bring it back to board. This was something that we discussed in water wastewater, and water wastewater agreed that it was something that we should bring to the board and shouldn't happen. So with that, if I could get a motion.
Just real quick, I had a real quick question.
Yeah.
So water wastewater obviously agrees with this. I'm sure the town agrees with it. How does the financing work on an addended contract? Where does that come out of?
It will come out of the water budget. So
okay.
It will probably have a little bit of an overage, possibly not, but just kind of depends at the end of the year. But it will come out of the consulting budget.
Okay.
So,
there's always a contingency, but we're probably, this will probably be in excess of the contingency.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
higher percentage. It's probably 25% of the entire contract, or less than that, 18% of the entire contract.
But typically the contingencies are 10%. So.
Right.
Yeah. If the board's aware of why we're going from 8-inch to, did we already discussed that in a...
I'd like to know that. I was curious why the necessity...
So it's a matter of balance. I think we've talked about this. Aaron can jump in if I'm wrong here. But it's a matter of balancing the systems between... Remember when Anthony gets up and he talks about the heavy load Newport's taking,
mm-hmm,
and the lighter load? And so it's because we have this restriction. If we can open the pipe up and we can balance the water from side to side and therefore more effectively use our wells, and especially well 8 going in now, which is a self-standing well, balance that into the whole system, and it's more efficient and more reliable in all seasons for all of our constituents. Did I do that okay, Aaron?
Yep.
Okay.
So not directly in support of a new project. This is strictly just to facilitate rebalancing that we've heard about for... Perfect.
Are there any other questions from the board?
Okay. Oh, I didn't move staff's recommendation. So what are you saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second that. Can we do a roll call vote, please?
Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Gutell?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Motion carries, and we are moving forward with staff's recommendation. So now we are going to move to discussion item number 2, possible action regarding adoption of resolution 2023-22. Declaring certain property as exempt surplus land and authorizing its sale. Mike, you're up again.
Yes, thank you again. What I would like to do is direct you to, you have the staff report and then you have the resolution, and just past the resolution is Exhibit A, which is exhibit I prepared to help with the discussion, if you don't mind turning to that in your packet. And in that exhibit, you'll see the future Newport Point subdivision, which fronts Newport Road. And between the subdivision and the road is a ditch that the town actually owns the property that the ditch is on. It's just a storm drainage ditch. And the Newport subdivision, their plans, their improvement plans are to have their stormwater from their project flow into that ditch. And so we've been working with the developer on that, indicating that we really don't want to have the maintenance responsibilities that might go along with that water flowing into the ditch. As you can imagine, as water comes up the storm drain pipe, there could in the future be some erosion of the ditch bank or something going on in here that we don't anticipate. And we really don't want that liability. And so what we've come to is basically just selling this land, which it really has no value because you cannot build on it. It's more of a liability to the town than a value to the town. We would retain easements across this land for our water line that needs to be installed here in the southern portion of the subdivision, and water line installed where the bridge is going to be located to enter the subdivision. So we'll have easements there for access and maintenance to the subdivision and for the water lines. So that'd be part of the grant deed that gets put together. But before you tonight is the action, working with legal counsel for the resolution, declaring it exempt from the surplus land and authorizing its sale. There's really no, it's in consideration, the sale is in consideration, so there's really no dollar amount being assigned to this. Again, it's because it's more of a liability to the town than a value to the town. So with that, we recommend that you adopt the resolution, and then of course available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mike. This was also brought to water, wastewater, and we agreed that this was the right way to do it. The liability was
outweighs
less,
the, yeah,
outweighs the, mm-hmm, the property. So are there any questions for Mike?
I just want to build on what Mike brought up. With the transaction piece, meaning we're not giving it away. What we're getting in return for that are the easements. And if you all remember, the bridge easement previously when we went through all this, there was a transaction where they paid the town money for that bridge easement to cross over the top. So that was the previous developer, but what we're getting in exchange is are those two easements.
So that's why it's considered a sell, correct?
It will be a sale. The transaction will change the title from Town Discovery Bay to the developer. And what we're getting in return are those easements.
Okay.
How are the costs for the transaction being handled?
Costs for the transaction, meaning like legal work to get together, the town.
Okay.
And then the developer's taking care of their end.
Hey, Mike, since the ditch runs all the way to the bridge at the Safeway Shopping Center blocking bridge, do you foresee any issues of this development creating additional burden on the ditch past what we're giving away?
That's a good question. We actually had the developer commission a separate stormwater study to analyze the current stormwater flow into the ditch and then the added flow from their subdivision, and it was very minimal, if not negligible. As you know, with new subdivisions, they have like a retention basin where they try and have the stormwater drain into the basin before it just overflows and discharges out into the storm drain system. So that further minimizes the flow. So yes, that was looked at.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open this up to public comment. Is there anybody in the audience or online that would like to make public comment on this? Okay. I'll bring it back to the board for discussion or motion.
I'll make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
I'll second.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Grant?
Aye.
Director Couteau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
President Porter?
Aye. Motion carries. Staff recommendation. Now we're moving on to discussion item number 3. Discussion of possible action authorizing general manager to enter into a purchase contract with Lowpress for an 1,800 gallon per minute filter vessel for well number 8 project. Mike, this is also you.
Okay, thank you again.
Welcome back.
The board made a call about a year ago. We came to you for a similar authorization for our Willow filter project. For the town to pre-purchase the 2,000 gallon per minute filter vessel from Lowpress, rather than including it in the contract, and that's gone very well. The filter vessel is actually going to be delivered the first week of January to be set on the concrete foundation being constructed by the general contractor now, and we want to do the same thing with the Well 8 project. We want to purchase it separately from when we go out to bid for the overall general pump station project. And we anticipate we would save approximately $80,000 in general contractor markup, overhead and profit. And it'll help us with the schedule for bringing Well 8 online sooner. Because we're looking at about a year from the time we issue the purchase order to Lowpress to the time that it's delivered. So if we can, cut that year down to order it now versus waiting until the general contractor comes on board, we'll save several months on the schedule for Well 8, in addition to saving the $80,000, as I mentioned here. So again, it's very similar to what we're already doing with the Willow Filter project, and we recommend that you authorize the staff to proceed as noted in the staff report.
This was also brought to Water Wastewater and agreed that getting it done in a timely manner and not holding back the project was well worth it.
Plus the cost savings.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any questions for Mike?
Move staff recommendation. Any public comment?
Do you want to run it?
No, I didn't know if I was supposed to make the recommendation yet or not.
You can make the recommendation that I can go to public comment, correct?
Right, so now there's a motion on the floor. If there's a second, then you do the public comment.
Yeah.
Second.
Okay, so now I'm going to move to do public comment. Is there any public comment on this?
No hands raised.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Any other discussion?
I answered my own question. Pricing is including freight, so that's...
Yeah.
Okay.
Roll call vote, please.
Director Grant?
Aye.
Director Cho?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Callahan?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. So now we're going to go ahead and move on to manager's reports. Monica, you're up for Parks and Recreation update.
Good evening, everyone. I believe you got to see some pictures, but the pictures really don't do it justice of all the tree work we had back by the swamp this week.
As you lovingly call it.
But it's amazing. And this morning, as I was opening in my regular dog park, people were coming. Everyone was just stopping and commenting about how great it looks back there. So in the daylight, and when it's not foggy, it was quite foggy this morning, go take a look. That's why I took the before pictures. It was a literal jungle. So it looks so much better. So really happy to have that done. It took them about a week and a half, about 3 days longer than I thought it was going to. That's how kind of intense that area was. Also, we hosted another blood drive at the American Red Cross November 29th. It was another successful one. They collected 28 units of blood, which could potentially save up to 84 lives. So we're really proud to continue partnering with them. We'll have another one coming early 2024. So that's a good thing. And then last year we tried a chair aerobics class for anybody, but it seems to be older adults that come to it, Fit Fun and Fab. And it was a little slow going, but November was the first month and it's been a huge success. We've had probably one of the biggest enrollments for like the first month go of something.
Right.
So it's continuing to build momentum. So
it's great.
Even with the weather changing and people wanting to hunker down, they're coming in and signing up for classes. So we're happy about that.
Awesome. Any questions for Monica?
Specifically the new class or all the classes?
All classes. Yeah.
What is the new class called again?
Fit, Fun, and Fab. It's a chair aerobics.
You said the chair and exercise.
Exercise, aerobics, yeah. They do a lot of stretching, using weights, mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what this building is for.
Yeah,
that's good. Any other questions? Okay. Good. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to now move on to general manager report.
Okay, so I have two exciting things for you. One is the audit is underway.
Oh.
So we're doing our annual audit. It's always a fun time in the office being asked a million questions. So they're here. They usually typically take about 2 weeks with us, and then they go off back to their office, and then we get the phone call questions. So we do have to file a finance transaction report. That's due by the end of January. And then they come to you end of March for our annual audit, the review. So you'll be getting that. So look forward to that.
Also, I'm sorry to interrupt. Who's that? Who does the audit for us?
Croce, Sanguinetti, and Vanderbeek. So, yeah. Also, I just want to remind everybody, we are having a holiday closure where the town offices will be closed from the 23rd of December through January 2nd. So just wanted everybody to be aware, remember that.
Perfect. Thank you.
That's what I have today.
Okay. Any questions? Perfect. Moving right along to standing committee reports, internal ops.
We had an action-packed committee meeting today. It was very contentious, and a fight almost broke out. No, we actually discussed, and it'll come to the board, but doing the internal operations on an as-needed basis instead of a regular scheduled, so that we can reduce the time staff spends, as well as reduce a little bit of the costs associated with these meetings, because there's not always a topic that needs to be discussed at that meeting.
And that's great. Okay, I'll move on to finance. Okay, you want to address that one?
Sorry,
just kick it.
At the finance meeting, we looked at the annual report, I don't have it in front of me, the audit? No.
No, it was a review.
It's the end of year financial review.
End of year financial report. And so that was very interesting. And y'all will be seeing it soon.
We can have that. If you'd like, the board would like to see that, we can bring that.
I think it'd be What do you think, Ashley?
I mean, it was, we'll see a lot of that during the audit, but it was a good thing to see. It was the first time that Margaret, our finance, mm-hmm. our new finance director, was able to report. It looks like we have done a pretty good job. We also are seeing some of the interest from our money market accounts go through as a positive through some of our various different budget and reports. We also discussed potentially looking at doing a assessment, a mm-hmm. district assessment, to try and get some funding for more landscaping, parks and rec. So stay tuned. That may be coming to the board at some point. Anything else?
Oh, I think that's it.
Okay. Water, wastewater.
You guys heard our whole report. Those were our three action items. So you guys are very well aware. You heard the same presentation we did. So welcome to the Water Wastewater Committee.
Great. Okay. We have director's reports that were listed in here. Is there any future agenda items?
No? Okay. Yeah, I do. Not necessarily maybe for the board, but I would like to, based on what Frank Morgan said earlier, I'd like to see staff... probably because we're talking about mostly protection of our infrastructure and the ability to coordinate with the police, can we bring flock cameras to the Water Wastewater Committee for at least a review, and then move it forward to the board from there if we feel that it needs to be. But I think that is a very positive thing that needs to be addressed, and so I'd like to see it start somewhere. If that's not the right place, then I don't know. But
I think that's a great idea, Kevin.
But does it necessarily have to be the flock cameras? Could be just cameras in general. That, wasn't that what?
It could. Okay. No. As long as they function, yeah. There may be other providers. Yeah, absolutely. But yes, that concept. Let's put it that way. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else? Perfect. We're gonna adjourn at 7:56.